Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Pneumatic Hearts. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning, our topic is the Word of God. That is, the Word of God is alive and powerful. And so I'm going to be reading this morning from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And let me say that Hebrews chapter 4 to do with the rest that God provides for his people. The rest that the writer to the Hebrews speaks of has to do with the rest from the trials and tribulation, as it were, of sin. The bewildering myriad of problems that we see that are symptomatic of the fundamental problem of sin. Now, there are those who may try to disguise or mask or even pretend that sin does not exist by creating models of human behavior that do not incorporate this fundamental premise. And so therefore, if this is not incorporated into the model is not going to execute or as it should perform, because something vital has been left out. And so therefore, God did not leave out or try to ignore the fundamental human need of rest from sin. And there are even theologies that have attempted to address the human problem or the human condition by excluding or attempting to ignore the problem of sin and taking up a psychotherapy without understanding that man's primary need has been addressed by the Jesus on the cross. And so the attempt to supersede or to discount in some manner, or as the writer to the Hebrew states it, to trample underfoot the blood of the Son of God, is not without significant consequences, both to those who attempt such actions and those who listen to them, because they have no idea of why their lives do not fundamentally change or not fundamentally transformed. The work of transformation of the human individual that occurs from the biblical perspective is not the work of man. It's not the work. It has nothing to do with talk therapy. It has everything, however, to do with the work of the Spirit of God in the life of the person. And so this is the approach that the writer to the book of Hebrews has taken. And so the rest that he speaks of cannot be looked at in a merely spiritual manner. It is the rest of the ontological self, because he is addressing the sin question. And it is interesting that in chapter 4 of Hebrews, the writer states, Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left us of entering into his rest, if any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So here's this bombshell of a verse, that is verse 2. And the writer is talking about God's people who took part of the Exodus event, who saw significant history unfold before their very eyes. They experienced the judgments that were unleashed by God upon Egypt, and final judgment of the slain angel that went throughout Egypt and snatched away all the firstborn. They were at the Dead Sea, and they witnessed with their own eyes the event at the Sea of Reeds of the parting of the waters. And so salvation history, that is, Hel's Geschichte, went on before their very eyes. And so it is very serious to attempt to dismiss or to trivialize significant salvation historical events, or try to trivialize them and therefore make them meaningless. They are filled with meaning in that God unleashed his own power during those. And so notice what the writer says, states in verse 2, that the gospel was preached, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But a very interesting occurred with those who experienced the Exodus event in the first person. That is, yes, it impacted them emotionally immediately, but they were unable to make the cognitive spiritual connection, that is, what they had experienced and witnessed. They witnessed the empirical events, but they were unable to wed the empirical events that they experienced with faith. They were unable to make the connection that God provided deliverance here. And so therefore, I understand these events to the extent that I realize that if he delivered me here, he will be there for me in the future. Now, all of these events were isolated. And to them, the cognitive emotional event did happen, did occur. But when the next significant event happened, or the next test came along, what happened in the past, they were unable to bring with them and make the connection in the future that God will provide deliverance for me too. And at this juncture, at this time. Very, very powerful. And so the writer states significantly that the word preached did not profit to them. And so because they were unable to make the connection, the writer states that this word was, it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith is the significant, very significant part of this equation. Yes, there is a cognitive, empirical event, but those events were to be the people of God into that transcendent awareness that we call faith. Faith is not empirical. But the evidence for faith is given in the realm of the empirical. God worked on behalf of his people through his empirical acts, and so therefore these acts were to lead them into that higher state of awareness. Holisticism. That is, we walk by faith and not by sight. We are not to lean upon our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, if I am unable to make those connections, and if I am unable to make that transition, then I walk in the lonely realm of the empirical. That is, the empirical events that I see are prejudiced by my limited perception, by my viewpoint, by my experiences. So therefore, I depend upon the empirical. And here in this realm, I am harassed by every event that comes along. And I struggle to therefore make sense out of everything that comes along. And even though I do not have all the tools at my disposal to make sense, or I may put together false inferences about what is going on with me, I have this innate dependence upon false inferences that I feel or believe. I make that mystical belief that I feel or believe have make a connection for me so that I can have substantive awareness through my empirical perception. And so I believe what only I see. In the biblical materials, this is the word, Hebrew word, re'ah. And in the Samson cycle of stories in the Old Testament, it was that prejudice in the life of Samson that led him into so much misery, because he depended upon what he saw. He followed what he saw only. Well, the Word of God is supposed to provide for the believing one his foundational understanding about how to walk in this life. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, and they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. This word rest in Hebrew is katapasin. It is a significant word. The kata prefix means down and into, and pasin means to cease or to stop. That is the calamitous life, the calamitous event, the harassing things in life that will keep me on edge, that will keep my blood pressure up, that will keep me in a state of hyper alertness and discontent. God makes these things to cease. And so I think, then why would people choose the other? Why would anyone want to hide this type of rest, that is katapasin, from people in general? What is to be gained from or by negating what God has to offer? What is to be gained? Well, people can be kept on significant and unnecessary amounts of medication. People can be kept dependent for life. People can be kept in a condition of spiritual impoverishment so that their lives never flourish. And so therefore, people can be merchandised or used in a benign but nevertheless abusive manner for or by others. In other words, people indeed are consumers. It is a very serious designation. God, however, offers katapotheo. For he spake, verse 4, in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. And we call it Sabbath or Shabbos. And it's a very interesting term. It literally means, and God caught his breath. God caught his breath. And verse 5, and in this place again, as they shall enter into my rest. Verse 8, for as Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. Verse 10, excuse me, for he that is entered into his rest, he had also ceased from his own works, as God did from him. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, that is, God's rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You see, the people who experienced the Exodus event grew critical and judgmental, and to the point where they eventually slandered the character of God in the wilderness, even after they continued to experience his deliverance. Out of all their significant trials, nevertheless, he delivered them. Even when they questioned his love, his intention, God continued to deliver them. But they were such poor witnesses. They never grew up. They never grew into a mature awareness of who God is. And so therefore today we experience the same phenomenon of people who are unable to grow to a mature awareness of what life is about. A few years ago, I was at a downtown mall, and I was on the second floor. I looked down into this technology store, this particular store, and it was interesting that there was a bench in front of the store, and the persons who were standing there waiting to be helped, as it were, and sitting at the bench all had their heads down, looking at these mobile communication machines. And whereas once upon a time, persons could engage in communication or just talk to one another, but with these very shiny, very compelling devices in their hand, they were more interested in the beauty of these machines, which allowed them to endlessly go on with a trivial communication. And so when we see just where this is going to lead, people in the very near future, their lives will be circumvented or curtailed dramatically because the sense of whoness or the sense of who persons are have now been wired. I mean, the interface seems not to be hardwired, but the nervous, human nervous system, and the systems that they hold in their hands have now successfully communicated, and human consciousness has been uploaded into these devices. And so it is very compelling to watch what is going on. The writer in verse 12 states, "For the word of God is alive and powerful." I want you to think deeply about these words. The word of God is alive and powerful. So he uses this, the word that he uses, this present active participle for the word of God, Zoe, or Zoe. So the word of God is alive, present active participle, and powerful. So in contrast to the information that people are allowed to move about through these devices, some of it has significance, much of it is trivial, but it is presented in a way that is attractive to the human eye, to the human heart. This word that God offers, this word of God is different in that this word is communicated either through the written form, that is through the pages of both the Old Testament and New Testament documents, or one can hear it or listen to it delivered in an oral manner. But notice what the writer states as we go on. He says that the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner or judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart, or what is in the heart. This word today is necessary. It is needed today if persons are to find catapulted. Now, no one is going to find catapulted in a handheld device. No one. One can move around bits of information. But then there is bits of information can be moved about, which is of a significantly trivial manner, but then there is significant information. God's word is in the realm of necessity. People today need this word. I'm going to read to you, I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy 32, verse 34, and I'm going to read the following through verse 47. Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and spoke all these words of this song in the hearing of the people. When Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law, or Torah. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Verse 47 has a timeless abiding relevance. These words, they are not just idle words for you. They are your life. See, here is a significant pause that must go on with the human heart and the Word of God. If these people were going to experience catapausin, that is rest, that is to make cessation from the harassment of sin, both within themselves and others. In Amos, in the book of Amos, chapter 8, we read, beginning with verse 11, and on my next show, I'm going to speak from the book of Amos, chapter 8, but I want to introduce these words to you. So we read in verse 11, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." It is interesting that God says that he will not remove the material possessions of food, of physical food, and that he will not remove the physical necessity of life-giving water, physical water. But then God says, I am going to send a famine that has to do the heart with the life of the Spirit. This is a very frightening famine. And God is bringing it to the people because they have been dull. Their senses have been rendered dull, taken up, swallowed up by material prosperity, or so it would seem. They have been satiated, that is, their senses have been satiated with the trivia. They have become intoxicated to the point of ruin with the trivia. Pneumaticos Radio is designed to bring significant information into the lives of persons, so that they will understand that, indeed, the Word of God does make a difference. That is, the Word of God is vital. And so as we continue on this topic, that is, the Word of God is alive and powerful, please stay tuned and invite others to listen. And I will meet with you next time on the Pneumaticos. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. Thank you.